views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready for a game changer. Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sarah will bring you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Now here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and you're listening to Conscious Business Radio on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Did you know that the cannabis industry is the fastest growing industry in the U.S. now? You know, with the economic woes that we're in, and it looks like we're probably in another recession here, and who knows what's really going to go on long term. It's really nice to know that we have an industry that is just booming. And this show today, I have Barry Gainsburg come on, and he's a securities expert and he's an attorney who is dedicated to the cannabis industry. And he's going to teach us about all sorts of things. I actually learned a lot from this interview. I did not know that cannabis was used for thousands of other uses. And I didn't know that before the turn, you know, back in the 1800s, that most of our clothes and paper and things like that, also medicine, not about most of our medicine, but a significant amount of our medicine used cannabis. You know, when I thought about cannabis, I thought of Cheech and Chong or, you know, the people smoking weed after school. Or you know, medical marijuana, when you hear the stories of the little girl that had 50 seizures a day and used medical marijuana and went down to one a day or none a day, and the government comes in and says you can't use it, and poor little girl is back to having 50 seizures a day. You know, those are the horror stories that you hear about. But as states and legislatures are starting to figure out that cannabis is not that evil, people are starting to realize that there's a lot more uses, and we used to use it for so many things. And the interesting thing is that, you know, when you look at why, you know, it was so demonized, and you look at the history of it, and marijuana has never caused a death. There's been studies to show that marijuana has never caused a death in the history of, you know, that we have history, whereas FDA-approved drugs have caused a lot more deaths and are much more addictive than marijuana. Marijuana isn't that addictive. So you start looking at some of these things and you realize, wait a minute, there's a really good uses. I didn't know also that you can make a biodegradable plastic alternative. So we can have plastics made out of this paper. It is so much more efficient. You don't have to use bad chemicals. Instead of 30 years to build a tree, it takes, you know, 6 months. There's huge potential in this industry. But unfortunately, it is still illegal in the United States at large by the federal government. So if the local states make it legal, it's still illegal nationally, and that causes a lot of issues. Plus, there's issues with the different states and how what they allow and don't allow. So we're going to talk all about that today with Barry Gainsburg. So let's welcome him now.
Hi, Barry. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
You have been involved in the cannabis industry for a while. Can you tell us what your background is?
Sure. I actually had gone to Johns Hopkins University back in 1986, and I took a constitutional law class there, and my thesis paper was the misclassification of marijuana as a narcotic back in the time. And simply, that was based upon the fact that a narcotic has to be grown from an opium plant. And by definition, cannabis isn't. I went to law school at Hofstra in New York, and I continued my legal career. And basically what I did is securities, and compliance and regulatory law.
Oh, so you were on Wall Street for a while.
I was. And I always enjoyed that much more than litigation. And for if you let me discuss this for a quick second.
Sure.
There's a difference between a transactional attorney and a litigator. A transactional attorney, which I pride myself in being, is someone you and I want to see the Deadpool movie. We may not agree what theater we're going to see it in, what time, what snacks, how we're going to get there. But at the end of the day, both you and I want to achieve the same goal, and that's to see that movie, right?
Okay.
So we'll find middle ground and compromise. In terms of litigation, you would hate me so much if you were a litigator that you'd be willing to bomb the only theater in town showing that movie, even if you wanted to see it, just so I couldn't. That's a difference in mentality.
Oh, you mean they just want to win at all costs?
Exactly. It's not about building things or improving things. It's about winning at all costs.
And, even if you do things that are a little shady.
Whatever the consequences are. Unfortunately, my exposure to litigation, there's a lot of shady stuff that goes on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, when people's whole lives are on the line, it brings out the worst in people.
That's true. And it's not only that, but it's when people's money and riches and material goods are on the line as well. They tend to lie a lot.
Well, that's what I mean. Like everything they have can be on the line. And yeah, they'll do whatever they need to do, whatever.
Indeed.
It's not good.
So I was doing this securities work, and I was doing some filings for some penny stocks that were listed. And actually, one of these companies is called Biotech Medical Software, otherwise known as the industry as BioTrack THC. And they did seed-to-sale tracking software. And that's how I really got involved. So I came involved from a security side in terms of regulatory offerings and raising of money, as opposed to several other attorneys who are in this space now. And they took a different route. They did criminal defense, and they were involved with normal. So my route is different. My route is through business.
Okay. Well, that's good because I got a business show, so it'll give us a good sense of where the industry is at. And that's why I brought you on, is because I really want to take a look at the industry at large and what kind of opportunities there are and how somebody can get in it and what the problems are. You know, what are we looking at here? But let's start with where is it cannabis legal and where is it still illegal in the United States?
Well, that's a great question. On a federal level, there is something called the Controlled Substance Act. And under that act, there's a Schedule I classification. And those are substances that are not legal. And to be classified as such, it has to be deemed highly addictive. And secondly, it has to provide no medical value. Somehow, cannabis has fallen on that schedule along with, psychotropic
cocaine.
Drugs. LSD, yes, cocaine. Although cocaine did have medical benefits and was available in Coca-Cola for a while and the rest of it. But exactly right, where they say there's no medical benefit. And again,
Is it highly addictive, cannabis?
No. If you miss it, now I'm an avid user of it. And again, if you miss a day or two of it or whatever it is, you might get a little grumpy, but no more grumpy than if you didn't get your favorite cup of coffee or whatever, and then you'd be fine. There's no addiction. There's no shake. There's nothing like that.
It's not like being addicted to tobacco.
No, it's not the same as nicotine on so many levels, and we can address this later. It's such a healthier choice than either alcohol or tobacco. But again, people, you know, I believe are entitled to, as long as they're not hurting other people, to do what makes them happy as well. To an extent, when you start dealing with cocaine, you know, you don't hear a lot of marijuana dealers going out with shotguns and killing people and having fights like that. It's not the same situation.
Well, so then why, in your opinion, is it still illegal then on a federal level if it doesn't meet any of these classifications?
Well, we're going to get there, and it's going to become real apparent. But basically, and I use the term cannabis instead of marijuana, and I'll explain to you why. Marijuana
or weed.
Yes, or weed. Weed is amongst discussions with friends. But again, marijuana really is a slang term for cannabis. So it was used in a derogatory way. So I prefer not to use that term because it had medicinal properties. So I use the term cannabis. But cannabis was legal since the beginning of time. And basically what happened, it was known to have medical benefits. It was used on hemp for rope, for manufacturing, for all sorts of causes. And then what you eventually had was corporate interest. Those who owned papers like Hearst spoke badly against cannabis. They didn't want it legal.
And why?
So, why? Because it was competitive from a business point of view. They wanted to sell. They wanted to sell newspaper. They wanted to sell trees and lumber. They were not involved in hemp. And again, also, cannabis was always associated with minorities.
So was cannabis, why was it competitive against paper?
Because you can use it for pulp.
Okay. And so originally they figured out how to make it, tarnish it because it was competitive against their paper products that they were selling.
Exactly. The Constitution was written on hemp paper.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
All right. So that used to be one of the primary purposes. You'd also have rope production, clothing made of hemp, all sorts of stuff made of hemp. Okay. But again, it was affiliated and mostly associated with Hispanics and minorities and blacks. And again, when people went to church and they took sacrament, right, they drank wine. So wine was accepted. Alcohol was accepted. It was within the norm of the culture.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right? All right. So you have this S1, and on a federal level, it's illegal. But here we get into federalism, because you have the federal government and the state government. Now, some of the state governments have decided to say, hey, wait a second, there are medical benefits here. And the federal government has said that we're not going to enforce these laws as long as you comply with their two important documents. One is called the Cole Memorandum, and says basically you're going to prevent what you have deemed to be legal marijuana from getting onto the black market. You're not going to let it get diverted. You're not going to take a legal product in. Right? So as long as you do these certain things, the feds will kind of stay out of it and let the states experiment.
Okay.
And that's what's kind of been going on. However, even when the government says that, the DEA still comes and raids. There's no real consistent.
So why? Why are they bothering with it when they know that, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. What else is going on?
Ah, Sarah, that's where it gets interesting. Just like in politics. Vested interest. Who has a vested interest in not seeing cannabis become decriminalized? There's a couple of constituencies, right? The pharmaceutical companies at this point, they're pretty happy with the way the status quo works. So they're not in any hurry. Now, at some point, they'll get involved with cannabis and that industry. But at this point, there's no need for them to. They got the market pretty cornered up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Second,
meaning they don't want cannabis to come in because it has some medical uses.
It takes their market share.
Yeah, they don't want that. Okay.
It takes their market share. And look how many drugs after they've been tested by the FDA. The FDA always comes back and says, you know what? There are these really bad side effects we didn't catch. Cannabis has been around for centuries. We pretty much know what it does at this point.
Exactly.
You know? So your next group, tobacco, they don't want to compete with cannabis. Right? So they have a vested interest to keep it illegal.
And cannabis doesn't cause, you know, kidney failure and
lung cancer. Exactly. So when you look at the side effects, hey, listen, if I have a night to go out, right? When I was in law school, I could spend it one of two ways. I could spend it drinking or I could spend it smoking cannabis. Now, my preference was smoking cannabis because I could get up in the morning and go to class. I might be a little hazy here and there, but I had no problem going. If I drank a 12-pack of beer, I wasn't going anywhere, and it wasn't going to further me anywhere in my career.
But so you were pretty much Cheech and Chong, though, when you were in class?
Well, not sitting in class, but just before I got there, sure.
Okay.
So here's the point I'm trying to make, right? It becomes a competitive product. And from a business point of view, you're not looking for that, especially when the status quo favors your position.
We need to take a short break. We'll be back with Barry in a moment.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Business Game Changers. We're talking with Barry Gainsburg about the cannabis industry, and we're going to rejoin that conversation now.
So right. The lobbyists that are in Washington trying to keep it illegal are from the pharmaceutical companies and the tobacco companies. Is that where the lobbyists are being funded from?
That's correct. You have that. You have alcohol, pharmaceutical, tobacco companies, but you also have others.
I mean, doesn't that raise red flags by the politicians when they see that the lobbyists are funded by the competition versus being funded by the medical doctors or some other area that really cares about health and wellness?
Sarah, money. Money does some evil things to
yes,
people.
I know. We just established that at the very beginning. But I just have to point this out.
Yes, you are exactly right. Now, the other part of it is also criminal reform, right? Now, jails are used today as generating profits for companies. Jails are subcontracted out to corporations. These corporations need those beds filled. The only way to keep those beds filled are to have people incriminated and incarcerated. And what's the easiest thing to get them for? Cannabis possession and low-level drugs, right? That's what the biggest problem is in getting criminal reform. It all ties into each other. You have wasted resources from the police doing paperwork and prosecuting these people. The court system's backlogged. And these private corporations like Geo Corporation that are publicly traded, and they're not concerned about rehabilitating criminals. They're concerned about generating profits because they're publicly traded corporations.
So they get, when they're on the stock market and their shares are evaluated, they look at how many, when they're looking at profits and things, they're
judged on.
What's
your revenue per bed?
Yeah. That's what I'm asking. And now, do they make money on, do they get profits based on selling their labor to other companies? Like, for example, all the inmates have to work for pennies on the dollar, and then does this private corporation get to keep that profit?
You ask an interesting question. I haven't seen anybody's accounting sheets, but I would imagine that to be the case. It is a total profit generating.
Because if
center.
You think about it, that if inmates make very little money and the for-profit company makes the, let's say you're making, I don't know, shoes, and normally it would cost a dollar, you know, per pair for labor, but you're only paying your people 5 cents. Does that right. 95 cents go in the pocket of the for-profit corporation running that prison?
Well, I assure you that some of it is going into that pocket.
Because, I mean,
that
would be, that would be a travesty for our criminal system. But
well, who are the real criminals, right?
Well, that would be a travesty. That would be a loophole for slavery.
Mm. Well, it's even cheaper than Mexican labor. So.
Yeah.
Who knows what Donald Trump will do about that?
Yeah. So now is cannabis legal in other countries?
Sure. And let me give you a good example.
Okay.
Jamaica.
Yeah, we all know Jamaica because remember all the Bob Marley stuff and.
But it was illegal there. People were getting killed for smoking ganja there. They were carrying the fight. It was never legal. The Rastaman smoked ganja. The government, the establishment, what they call Babylon, did not permit it. Youths, grown men, were killed for the smoking of a single joint.
Wow.
That's oppression. They've carried the fight. Now, recently, they've had conversations, and Jamaica has decided to reform its ganja laws last year. And basically, scientific research is now allowed at the university. They're going to allow medical very soon. They're coming out with the rules and regulations, as well as recreational. And eventually there'll be export and import of products. But again, it's a much easier situation in Jamaica because you're dealing with 14 parishes instead of 50 states. And again, the national law applies.
Yeah, they're smaller. You can do more. That's why our country was set up to have things at the state level because it's easier to get things accomplished at the state level. But how about like around Europe and Australia and some of these other countries that are pretty developed and they're developed in their medical systems? Is it legal there?
Yeah, they're decriminalizing. Israel has done a lot of research on the topic as well. And there's medical available in the Middle East, in Israel, European countries. I believe Portugal and Spain are pretty liberal, you know, but it keeps South America. It's really legalizing in other countries down there as well. Ecuador, I believe.
So are we one of the last to join the party or are we kind of in the mix with a lot of European countries?
No, we're kind of lagging behind. Canada is even ahead. They just elected Trudeau, who's very progressive on cannabis legalization up there. And plus, in Mexico, you've had their court hold that the use of cannabis is a human right. And in Canada, their Supreme Court has held that the use of cannabis for medical reasons is a guaranteed human right.
So now, do you think that we're behind legally because our lobbyists have so much more power than they do in other countries?
Indeed. And part of the problem also is in American politics, when it came to cannabis, no candidate on either side outside of a libertarian, someone like a Bernie Sanders or a Rand Paul, would ever really speak to the legalization of cannabis.
They didn't want to be tarnished. It made them look bad.
It would stigmatize them, and then they would have to explain it.
Well, right. The Cheech and Chong movies didn't do a lot to help the cause, right? Because that's what the image that a lot of us have in our head are all those movies, you know?
It is. It is. It is, you know, again, if you looked at American movies, you would think we all run around all the time with guns blowing each other apart and flipping over
exactly.
cars. So, you know.
So have you seen cannabis help people? What does it do medically for people?
Of course. It's helped people with migraines. I have family members who don't have Parkinson's but have shakes and the rest of it. Even when I've used it, it will stop that instantly for me. So it helps with that. It
How about anxiety? People can do it to calm their anxiety?
Yes, and there's actually a big movement among veterans who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder to have cannabis available to them for exactly those reasons, for anxiety and depression. There are countless. It helps people with cancers. It helps, you know, there's also an argument at this point also because some states like New York don't allow you to have any of the leaf products. So you can't have the bud. It gets manufactured into a, you can vape it into an oil. But that's not necessarily the same as smoking the entirety of the plant, which is a benefit to. So you're stripping certain components out of it by inhaling it that way.
And so why would they want to get down to the nitty gritty about how you can take the plant?
Well, I think part of it is they want to defeat that Cheech and Chong stigma of people with the plant. But part of the problem is intrinsic into the solution and the benefits that cannabis provides. It's the entire plant that does it. You can't just isolate certain, and they've tried doing this scientifically to isolate certain components of it. And it just doesn't have the same effectiveness.
Well, so now how much research now is going in to show that this has these medical benefits and health benefits to people?
Well, there's certainly always been anecdotal evidence, obviously, of, you know, people living through it and nobody's ever died of overdosing on cannabis. But Israel's been at the forefront of scientific research. Canada's been there. It's going on in Jamaica right now in countries where they're legalizing it. See, here's one of the other problems with the S1 classification under the Controlled Substance Act. You really can't conduct scientific experimentation in the U.S.
Well, because so, you'd like to take 100 people with, you know, with a certain type of I don't know, with anxiety
or
whatever.
Anxiety or, right.
Yeah, and then 100 people without it and give them to them and do a controlled study and see what the difference is.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think for the most part, people pretty much know what the results are at this point. There's enough living history of it. But again, if you want to codify it in scientific studies in this country.
Well, you kind of have to in this country, right? I mean, we're a country of, they need to see it written in facts and proof that way.
And then some. But anyhow,
yeah,
provided
exactly.
You have enough money. But,
well, yeah, it's really expensive. I had somebody on that does some adult stem cell therapies, and they're just making huge progress with it. And it's illegal in this country, but it's legal everywhere else, all the European countries, Japan.
Right.
And, I mean, they're dealing with rheumatoid arthritis and strokes. They're building back muscle material. They're getting people out of wheelchairs, but it's illegal here.
Right.
And to get a drug going here, it costs over $1 billion. You know, a couple billion.
They found out this one guy in Kansas was going to move from Kansas because he was a veteran and he suffered from anxiety. He was going to take himself and his children to Colorado. The state of Kansas moved in and took the kids away. He wasn't even going to another country. He was moving to another state.
What? So they wouldn't let him move? Why would
He wouldn't let him take the children. If he was going to be taking cannabis.
Well, was it because did his wife get involved and they weren't married?
No, his wife was a supporter. No.
How can they? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
How can they do that? Under
That's
what legal
exactly
jurisdiction
the question.
Do they have that right? Are they taking kids away from child abusers to the same extent?
I would certainly hope so, with the same conviction that they're taking away from people who medically are seeking to move to a state where it's legal. But I would bet probably not.
Because I doubt they're just as ardent on issues that are way more damaging. Are they making sure those kindergartners are getting good education? You know, I mean, there's so many other issues that are.
Yeah. Hey, how about the lead in the water?
Exactly.
Yeah, there's important stuff. This is non-issue. This is really silly. And again, real quick, getting back to what we were discussing before, because in America, the political scene was pretty much a scene. In Europe, at least, you had different parties with very diverse platforms. And some very happily would stand up for, you know, criminal reform and for cannabis reform. And that was an important message that gets out in Europe, not so much in this country.
Well, how can it cause harm? I mean, are there any
points
of it that cause harm? What are the negative aspects of it?
Sure. There are some people who get unmotivated from it. There are some people who abuse it just like they would alcohol or tobacco or any other substance, as a case.
And what does it mean by abuse it? Like they just sit there and smoke it and don't want to do anything and they just want to hang out and.
Exactly. They don't want to look for a job. They don't want to be productive. They socially become isolated.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to take a short break. We'll be back with Barry real quick.
everyone. This is Dr. Pat. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is world-renowned for its wide array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team's mission is to provide you with fresh, organic, premium-quality maca powders at a fair price. Amazing. All of the products are always organically grown, fair-traded, GMO-free, fresh, and potent. So don't take my word for it. Experience the life-changing benefits of maca today. Visit themacateam.com.
There are so many resources out there for meditation. But did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Vadili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's A-T-A-A-N-A-method.com. And sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
Welcome back to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and you're listening to the Conscious Business Radio Network. And if you want to hear any of my past radio shows, I need to make my plug for my website at sarahwestall.com. And we will be returning to the interview with Barry Gainsburg right now.
One of the reasons and one of the problems right now with legalization is I can go to Colorado. I can purchase legal cannabis. I'm above 21 and the rest of it. But if I smoke it, I have nowhere to smoke it. If my hotel doesn't permit me to smoke it there, there's no cafes. I can't go to a bar to smoke it socially. So even though I can get it recreationally, it's not encouraged to be shared in a social setting like a bar.
Yeah, so that's where the isolation comes in.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
But is it less harmful than alcohol and other legal substances?
Well, The truth of the matter is every study that continues to come out puts that in the affirmative. It is less harmful. It does not have the same long-term effects that alcohol does on the kidneys and the lungs and the diabetes. And in fact, cannabis is supposed to help diabetes. You know?
Well, so the harmful effects are more mental stuff in the sense of what their motivations are and stuff, but it doesn't harm your organs and your body like other drugs do.
No, and listen, it's also not really meant for children to take either. You know, nobody should make that argument that, you know, 15-year-olds or 16 or 17-year-olds
should
be doing that either. Because their brains are still developing, whether it be alcohol or tobacco or whatever it is. Now, in Europe, they'll give the kids wine. And that's a different situation. They're not giving them alcohol to get drunk or anything.
Well, alcohol and other hard substances actually kill brain cells. It damages your organs.
Indeed.
But cannabis does not do that?
No, not the same effects. No.
In fact, it has helpful effects.
It does have helpful effects. And in fact, on the lungs, they show that those who inhale generally have better lung capacity as well.
So if a runner smokes it once in a while, they might actually get benefits from that?
Not only that, but remember a couple of years ago, Michael Phelps took a lot of heat because it was discovered he was smoking from a bong using that. And you can understand how a swimmer would appreciate that greater lung capacity.
Wow, Michael Phelps and that. So how big is the industry right now?
It is a huge industry. And part of it is, it is a huge industry on the legal side of it, and it's still a huge industry on the black market side of it as well. That has not disappeared from the other 26 states.
It's a great business opportunity right now, isn't it? If you can figure out how to do it legally, and because you'd be an early entrance, but you'd be a fast follower at this point.
I think so. There's a couple of points to keep in mind, though. At this point, remember that S1 that I was discussing before, making cannabis, you know, an illegal substance. So you can't get banking because at this point,
anywhere?
Even though they say, nope, not for cannabis.
Even the credit unions and things?
Some of the state institutions have tried. The Fed has shut them down. They've been told by the Fed, you don't have enough compliance safeguards in place. Now, let me tell you something. I was in the securities industry in 2001, and after you had 9/11, they passed the Patriot Act, and they passed anti-money laundering rules, right? And part of that, you used to have a rule called Know Your Customer, and then it went to, you know, the AML requirements. And it went through very easily in the financial industry, and here you're trying to detect proceeds that are being, you know, wired and transferred amongst terrorists. We're not doing that in the cannabis space. You're just asking people who are running legal dispensaries, who are declaring who they are, to run the money legally. It's very simple to do. Banking is not a true problem. It is a manufactured problem.
Okay, well, then how do you bank at all? I mean, because you're going to need...
You don't. People are keeping pallets of cash. Now, some people will incorporate, and the bank won't ask them what their business is, but eventually they'll find out, and they freeze the account, and they lose the cash.
So all the cash, they just have... big vaults and safes, and they just, it's
and
all
security.
A cash-based business.
Security. You have guards with guns protecting your store. It is like the Wild West. So where you've made cannabis now legal, you've created a potential for crime, not for the cannabis, but for all the available cash, right?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
Yep. It's silly. It's silly. So
they're purposely making it hard.
Indeed. So here's a couple of other things. The tax code, because it's federally illegal, under the federal tax code, there's a statute, Rule 280E, which makes the proceeds, I believe, taxable at 70%. So if you are legal to sell it in Colorado, on a federal return, you're still required to pay 70% of that profit, even though it's a legal state business, because it's a federal criminal business.
Oh, my gosh. So you have to pay that much? Well, how do they know? If everything's a cash-based business.
Well, you have reporting. You have some companies that do the seed-to-sale tracking. And you have to report what you sell to the state for it to be deemed legal. So there's reporting that goes from the store to the state to show that any purchase was a legal purchase of cannabis. So there's a way to account for it. The state can put those numbers together off of the software.
Gosh, they're making a killing with 70% of their profits going
That's
to the
right.
federal government. They probably love that.
Who doesn't want to leave?
They don't want to change that.
Now, on top of it, you can't get a federal bankruptcy because what you're doing, let's say your business does horrible and you've invested all this money, your creditors can still come after you because what you've done on a federal level is still the proceeds of a crime, right?
Can you do a bankruptcy with the state?
You might be able to. It depends what bankruptcy protection your state affords you. So these are all the difficulties, and these aren't all of them, right? You're not supposed to send things through the mail. You can't have interstate commerce. So I am a huge manufacturer of alcohol, and I have a production facility in Kansas City, and I can distribute to each state around me. However, with cannabis, because it's still a federal crime, you can't have interstate commerce. So even though the state of Washington and the state of Oregon are adjacent to each other. I cannot drive ship cannabis from one state or production facility to another. I have to totally replicate my business model in a new state.
Do you have to grow it in the state that you sell it? Otherwise, you're trans. So, like, if you grow it in one state and you sell in another, that's illegal.
That's correct.
Right? And how about if you buy it in one state and
transport it to another?
Yeah. Is that illegal too?
That's illegal as well.
So basically everything needs to stay in that state.
Correct. Correct.
What, can you buy seeds that are, you know, in the seed form?
Well, you would have to order it from an authorized state dealer to sell you seeds.
Okay. So from your own state.
Correct. So, now, is that always what happens? I'm not necessarily sure.
There's a black market for it because it's a pain in the butt. Whenever you make something that hard
difficult
to do,
mm-hmm,
there's a black, you're encouraging a huge black market.
Of course you are.
And more crime.
Of course you are. See? So at the end of the day, all this, you know, it's silly. There are medical benefits. And once you declassify it from an S1, it becomes interesting. Now, in terms of business, you've now, for a while, and you can appreciate this, you've now had people who've been protected because none of the big national companies want to roll into these state enterprises. So you've had local cottage industries develop in certain states, and you will have edibles, and you will have certain strains, and you'll have certain brands. And when the S1 comes down, what will happen is banking will be available. But it won't be available from the little credit unions and the rest of it. Bank of America, Chase, you know, Citibank will all come in and offer services, right? Credit cards, you'll be able to use credit cards for purchases with it. The other things that will happen is Bacardi and RJ Reynolds and pharmaceutical companies will come rolling in. And what they will do is they will either buy up companies, they will force those existing companies to merge, or they'll just put people right out of business who are homegrown, but they can't compete with the capital resources that these big national companies have that are coming rolling in. As long as, you know, on a federal basis, it's now legal. They're not sitting on the sideline anymore. So it creates a lot of opportunity, but a lot of risk as well. Because when that S1 classification comes down, the big boys are coming into play.
Well, yeah, because the big boys are going to want to take over the industry. I mean, that's just the way it is, right?
Exactly. So either you have something so unique that nobody else can get it, or somebody will buy you out, just like Oracle or Cisco or Microsoft do, right? That'll eventually happen, yep, on technology sides. Now, the other thing also to look at, it's not only the companies that are touching the cannabis itself. Because, again, because it's a federal crime, if you're a dispensary or a grower of cannabis, you can't have a stock offering on an IPO. It has to be approved by the Securities and Exchange Commission. Can't happen. So when that S1 goes down, you'll be able to come to market and raise money directly for those whose hands are on the cannabis.
So when do you think the S1 will go down? Do you think it's in the works?
I would hope that President Obama would, after the election, I believe it would make sense for him to reschedule. Because at this point, it would create talking points and it would create issues that I don't think he wants to raise for the Democrats or Republicans. But after the election, and especially if a Democrat's elected, I think he will go ahead and do that as a legacy because no one can stop him from reclassifying it under an executive order.
So you do? You think Obama is enough for it that he'll do it?
You know, a lot of people are very disappointed at his progress on the issue. And to some extent, he hasn't been as progressive as he should, given his personal history with it. That being said, he also has not really called for as much enforcement with the DEA and other agencies, and he's tried to provide guidance. So I would hope he would do that on an own personal basis. But if not, I would say by 2020, there'll be enough economic interest on the Republican side and enough interest for criminal reform that it's going to happen within the next couple of years. That doesn't mean it'll be legal in every state, but I think the federal government will allow states to make that determination themselves.
Well, the states that are doing it heavily, like Colorado and Oregon, aren't they seeing a huge economic boost from it?
They are in many different ways. From tourism, from manufacturing, from service jobs. You know, what does America make these days? what do we manufacture as a country?
Crack.
No. Sports. We export sports.
We do. I know. I just was thinking something negative. Yeah, entertainment. We
sports,
create
guns.
Do we make
military?
Do we create? Yeah, we do. We're the biggest exporter of weapons.
Right. Those are the three things that we create. We're a service economy.
We are a service economy. Exactly.
And until you help the middle class, there's no middle class. Until you create middle class jobs.
We need to take another station break, so we'll be back with Barry in a moment.
Do you want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Shine On Radio, Find Your Shine with Kelly, is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What are vibes? We often use this word, but did you know vibes can actually be useful and help solve our everyday challenges? Embark on an exciting learning journey with Caitlin Keat, 11-time Visionary Award winner, specialist in vibrational energy, and the creator of Vibes Up. Join Caitlin as she takes you through the world of vibrational therapy and energy healing with natural solutions for a modern world. Visit vibesup.com to learn more today.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Welcome back to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and we're talking with Barry Gainsburg about the cannabis industry.
And this industry, cannabis and hemp, you can make cars out of hemp. Henry Ford did. You can make housing out of hemp. You can make clothes out of hemp. There are so many things that can be done. Plastic, anything that's done with plastic can be done with hemp. And it's not, you know, doesn't have the biodegradable problems that plastic has. It's good for, it's
oh,
good.
Oh, wow. So there's a lot of industries that can spring up over this. And we can really solve some of our issues with the landfills and stuff. I don't know about solve it all, but we could create some dents in those problems.
Well, exactly. You know what?
Interesting.
Nothing is a complete solution, but it's a piece of the solution.
Yeah, I didn't know it would solve some of those plastic issues. But then the plastic industry doesn't want that to happen.
No, they don't.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get to a point where, and that's the problem with having laws that shut out innovation is our the species doesn't evolve. You know, we're shutting down things that can make us evolve and be better and flourish. And so we can't allow industries to shut out progress. And that's what we're doing.
You're exactly right. And here's where we're going to tie it with a bow. This is part of the problem with Citizens United case, right? Which says corporations are really people, right? And corporations aren't people, but it says corporations can spend as much money as they want on a candidate. They can't coordinate, and we all know they do. And all these big money are flowing, and these are the problems in the political process because, again, these are the pharmaceutical companies. These are the tobacco companies. These are the alcohol companies. These are the prison companies. These are the plastic companies. You take all these industries flooding money to get what they want, and basically, you know, these people want to keep their job, and the only way they keep their job is to continue taking money and running for their job.
Exactly. You know? So now what advice would you give to somebody who wants to start a business?
You have to examine what state you're in very much. You have to be real careful about the laws in the state you're going into. The laws are very dynamic. On something like edibles, let me give you an example. You used to be able to put as much THC as you wanted into a candy bar, let's say. But then they had problems with people who would eat it. And, you know, if you eat an edible, it doesn't take effect like it does when you inhale it. So 2 or 3 hours later, you'll get an effect. But some people didn't get an effect instantly. So they take more and more and more of it.
Oh, okay.
Right. So now what they've done is to try and approach this problem in your sizes, they have to be 10 milligrams to, you know, each chunk or piece of it. So, you know, you have accurate dosing available. But part of the problem is in some of, if you're going to do edibles, is you need to make sure it's consistent. So the THC content isn't lumpy. If you make a chocolate bar and cut it in half, I don't get, you know, 85% of the THC and you only get 15% of it. It's got to be uniform and consistent. When I go to McDonald's.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because then otherwise one chunk will have hardly any of it in there and the other chunk will be a lot.
Exactly. When I go to McDonald's in California, I know that hamburger is going to taste as good or as bad as it does in New York.
Okay. So where should people go? What parts of the country would you say is the best, the most open, the easiest? And, you know, I suppose it might be pretty crowded in those easier areas as well. But where do you see the opportunities, the business
What you're going to do is head west, young man. You're going to head to California where it's been medically illegal since the 90s. You're going to head to Colorado. You're going to head to Oregon. You're going to head to Washington, Alaska, Hawaii, you know, out west.
But where's the best opportunities? I mean, is it crowded space yet or is it pretty good?
There's a crowd, there are people there, but if you can do what you do bigger and better, if you can align with the right people, if you have a unique idea, and the other part of it is you don't necessarily need a business where your hands are on the marijuana, right? I am an attorney. There are accountants. There are all sorts of professionals. I also do business consulting, right? So I don't have to be limited to one geographic location, right? A dispensary is going to require security and certain provisions in all sorts of states. So that goes beyond state lines to help somebody set up a business. So you're going to need to incorporate for protection. You're going to need to file the correct paperwork and make sure you have the right permits. You're going to make sure you're going to have to pay for licensing, whether you want to be a cultivator or a processor, meaning creating edibles, or if you want to be a dispensary. So there are all sorts of different things you can do. But in addition to that, you can have, like I was saying, an ancillary business. So kind of like Levi Strauss and the gold miners. He wasn't really concerned which particular gold miner was successful. He was just concerned about selling as many picks and shovels and blue jeans and pants as he could. Didn't matter who won at the end to him.
Exactly. He was a supplier to the industry instead.
That's correct.
Yeah. So our users that are using the drug legally still finding it difficult to do so without problems? Or do you need to be in those states? You know, there's certain states that'll let you do it and other states that are really hard on people.
Correct. The Midwest has a lot of states that are hard on people, but even take a state like Florida. We've been having problems getting, there's been a Charlotte's Web bill on for 2 years, but you can't get rules and regulations through. We almost passed the bill in 2014. Got 58% of the vote. Because you're amending the state constitution, you need 60% in Florida. It's back on the ballot in 2016. There'll be many more voters. We anticipate it's going to pass this time around. But there are certain cities, it's not legal recreationally. There are certain cities down here like Hollywood and Miami Beach and Fort Lauderdale where it now just becomes a ticket. So it's not a felony. It's not a misdemeanor. It's a ticketable offense, just like I double parked my car.
Whereas Kansas, ticket. You get your kids taken away from you, and there you get a ticket. In Colorado, they pat you on the back and say, hey, I'll join you tonight.
Exactly. and in Jamaica right now, it's a $5 ticket if you're using it recreationally.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So where do you see the future of the industry going?
Well, eventually it's all going to go global. It's going to be legalized because it's a commodity like any other.
So
like,
how long? What time?
Like coffee.
You think in 2020?
I think 4 years. Think 4 years.
So the people in the industry that are getting ready and getting themselves positioned well, they could really have a good opportunity in 4 years.
You could have a great opportunity. And in fact, you could have a great opportunity now if you're in those states. And again, you have an innovative idea and you have something that differentiates you. You know?
Sure. Can you do flavored things?
You sure can. Because what you also have is infused foods and edible cooking and all sorts of stuff. It's amazing what's out there, Sarah.
It's a very interesting industry, that's for sure.
It is. And look at all the pipes and all the apparatus you can use in terms of, you know, taking it in and the what do they call those? The vapors and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's an incredible industry. You didn't even have these vapor pens a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well, I just see the whole industry changing. Well, I think it's a phenomenal opportunity for people that can position themselves now and be ready to go. You know, assuming in 2020 or around that time, things open up for people. And with the benefits, the medical benefits, it's a good thing. Now, they do need to figure out how to deal with the negative side effects, but I suppose there's a lot of things that can make you lazy, like just eating food, because I'd rather just eat food all day and watch TV. So they can't ban food and TV.
No, not yet.
But it does the same problem.
Indeed.
Well, that's funny. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
I will, Sarah, and thank you so much again.
Yeah,
great time.
You're welcome.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this interview today. I think it was really eye-opening. And for those of you who are already in the industry, you probably already know all this. But those of you who are not, there's so much potential in this industry. I mean, maybe it's something you want to invest in. Maybe you want to start a business in this industry. It's going to create a lot of millionaires, and it's going to create a lot of wealth. So it's something that you probably want to look into. And also with the fact that it's green. I mean, the biodegradable plastics, that would be fantastic. Creating paper from a plant that can, you know, takes 5-6 months to grow versus 30 years without all the chemicals that are used to create paper. There's so many fabulous things that we can use it for, and we just need to rediscover those uses. And I bet there's probably a lot more uses that we can come up with as with our new technology and the new brains being put into that and figuring out what we can do with it. And if you want to find out more information about Barry Gainsburg, you can go to his website at barrygainsburg.com or go to my website at sarahwestall.com, and you'll find all sorts of information. You can get his information, and you can also get links that I have up there on different data, different information on the cannabis industry, what states are legal, what some of the issues are, what are the different uses with cannabis, some of the studies that have been done on it. So go there, get some information and resources from there, and also talk to Barry. He's an expert in this industry. So if it's a business that you want to create and get into, make sure you talk to him. So for now, everybody have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Business Game Changers with host Sarah Westall. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, as Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Pacific Time and learn more about Sarah at sarahwestall.com today.